Blog Talk Radio.
So due to technical difficulties, we're going to have an intro today. But this is the NFL pregame show, as always, alongside Dylan Goldman, Joshua Lurie, and Eric Watkins today. I'm Stephen Herr. And we have two great games on tap today. I have a feeling these games are going to be pretty boring, but you never know what can happen in the NFL. This is why we play the game, as a lot of people like to say. First game we're going to cover today, New England and Kansas City. Now, for New England, Julian Edelman missed the last seven games after breaking his foot at MetLife against the Giants. Two questions about this. The first one is, how does this help New England? And the second one is, how does this hurt Kansas City?
Go ahead, Eric.
I think that was Josh.
That definitely opens up a lot of what the Patriots can do on offense, especially because Danny Amendola is also healthy. And that is huge, considering that we don't really know what's happening with Gronkowski, because there were reports that he went to the hospital to get some shots in that surgically repaired back. So that's something that the Patriots definitely have to be concerned about. But at least they know they'll be able to move the ball through the air with Edelman and Amendola working those mid-range routes.
Now, and this really affects Kansas City because, as Josh said, this opens up the mid-range routes, but the Patriots love using their slot receivers. Now they have both of them healthy back running to go. So not only does this open up for trick plays, especially with Edelman, this opens up a lot more comfort in passes out of the backfield. So now, does Kansas City stack the box? Do they do like the Dolphins did against the Patriots in Week 17, line up eight or nine guys across the line of scrimmage? Or do they keep guys like Justin Houston, who's active, back in coverage to help prevent the pass? So this is going to tweak their scheme just enough to where they really have to be on balance to give themselves a chance.
You know, it's a huge plus for the Patriots because besides Gronkowski, Edelman is definitely their biggest weapon, and he can be used in a number of ways. Remember, he's also a great punt returner, so they can definitely they'll definitely have an advantage during the special teams today. He can play the short game. He can go middle. He can take screen passes. I mean, he can be utilized in a lot of ways, and that's going to put a lot of trouble on Kansas City today. Marcus Peters is going to have to do a really good job on covering Edelman, but the good thing for Kansas City is Rob Gronkowski is beat up, so you're going to see a lot more of Scott Chandler, but definitely it's definitely a plus for the Patriots with Edelman back. He's one of their best weapons. It'll open up a lot, especially with the struggling running game. They can get some things going, maybe with some screen passes to Edelman, but it's definitely a plus. And the Chiefs, you know, who knows, but it's definitely going to equal out depending on the availability of Gronkowski.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have to remember, this is a New England team that has some, I guess, bad juju surrounding them, if you can say anything. They dropped their last two regular season games. And then last week, Chandler Jones, the best pass rusher, I don't know what to make heads or tails out of that story. From what I've heard, apparently he overdosed on synthetic marijuana. Other reports have said that he overdosed on pills. He seems to be good to go, but I'm just wondering if that's going to affect the focus, and even if that's just going to, after going through all of that, if he's still going to be able to bring the same focus and intensity for them and their pass rush, which they're going to need today, because even though they've got most of their offensive weapons back, I wouldn't even say that they're 100% on that end. I mean, we forget that Tom Brady's coming off of a high ankle sprain, and that normally takes more than two or three weeks before someone's 100% healthy from that. So it's, even though the Patriots are healthier than they've been most of the season, they're far from being a healthy squad right now.
Now, I just want to bring up a scenario. Imagine if Edelman was not cleared to play in this game. How would that hurt them?
They would have to try to push the ball up the field. They would really have to take more risks, and you would see a lot more of the traditional drop back. Again, with Edelman, very versatile in almost like a fake run, fake pass situation. Plus, that doesn't entirely eliminate a screen pass option, but it diminishes it a lot. So that means that Kansas City would be able to play closer to the line of scrimmage, be able to get much more pressure on Tom Brady because he would have one less guy to throw to on a quick check down.
Exactly what Eric said. It would diminish the short passing game, the medium passing game. The Patriots would have to go for more long passes, the traditional dropbacks, and that would really limit the screen passing. Like Eric said, that doesn't mean they wouldn't have done it at all. That means they'd have to give more screens to James White and others. But it's definitely a plus that they have him today, or else it would be much easier on this Chiefs defense to defend the Patriots. So it's definitely a plus for the Patriots. And without him, they would have to definitely rely on the traditional dropbacks. They would not be able to do screens as much. So it's definitely a plus that they have him today, or else they could be in a worse position like they have been ending this year.
And it would force them to use Gronkowski a lot more in the passing game, especially having him go across the middle where guys, because he's so big, guys are trying to go low and take out his legs instead of tackling him. And I've got a couple of friends who are Patriots fans, and they hold their breath every time they see that happen because he's already injured his knee a couple of times in his career, and the next one could be it for him. So, yeah, and that's definitely something that they are concerned about with him having those back issues re-aggravated this week.
Now, Kansas City, they're on an 11-game win streak. How did the Patriots stop them and end this streak today?
You know, a lot of the reason why the Chiefs have been on this 11-game winning streak is the play of quarterback Alex Smith. Smith is scrambling more. He's getting a bunch of yardage, and that's opening up the passing game and the running game with Sharkhandrick West. I think what the Patriots have to do is they have to make Smith beat them make Smith beat the Patriots with his arm. He's not going to throw big long passes. He's a short, conservative West Coast style quarterback. They need to make him throw a lot, force the Chiefs out of their running game. And that'll help a lot because West and Smith on the ground have been very, very effective. That's definitely going to be something that the Patriots will have to stop if they want to win this game today.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to also add on to that. Keep Smith in the pocket. Keep him contained. And as a secondary thing, keeping him contained and shutting down Jeremy Maclin. Yes, Maclin's hobbled with a high ankle sprain of his own, but if you take away their biggest primary receiver threat to force him to go second, third reads, that buys you even more time to try to get to him.
Yeah, and going off of that point, Maclin has more than 200 more yards than than Kansas City's second leading receiver, tight end Travis Kelce. So I don't know if Smith has the chemistry with them. And also, when you take away Jeremy Maclin, the next three top receivers only average 101.2 receiving yards per game. So if you can take Maclin out of the game, that definitely forces Smith out of his comfort zone and forces the Chiefs to do something which over the last few years they haven't been really good at, which is getting the ball to their receivers. I mean, it was, week two or three this season where they broke – an over-season-long drought of having a passing touchdown to a wide receiver. So even though they've been a lot better, it's still something that they aren't necessarily the greatest at.
Yeah, Kansas City has won 11 in a row. But here's something you guys got to think about. Who have they faced at the quarterback position on the opposite side of the team? Tyrod Taylor, struggling Philip Rivers, Johnny Manziel, Derek Carr. So is this Kansas City team for real, or is this going to be their first test the whole season?
I wouldn't say that because they beat up on Denver, and granted, Denver's quarterback play hasn't been the greatest this season, but they were able to beat that ridiculous defense that the Broncos have, and I feel like they just need Alex Smith to play good enough so that their defense can do the heavy lifting if they're trying to win. Because Alex Smith has never been a quarterback who wows you with his abilities. He's been more of a game manager, does all the right things, doesn't try to do too much, doesn't throw dumb interceptions. If they get that out of him, they've got a fighting chance today.
I feel that the Chiefs have already validated themselves just with this 11-game winning streak. And like Josh mentioned, they shut down and beat up a Denver Broncos team that's the number one seed in the AFC. They forced Peyton Manning out of the game. He was injured. Then Brock Osweiler came in, and the Chiefs still just blew out Denver at home, and they scored so many points on that amazing defense. You know, they have played some – they have played many subpar or lesser quarterbacks, but I think winning 11 straight games in the NFL is enough to validate this team, despite some of the weaker opponents in the league that they faced.
And really, also going into this, think back to the Monday night game, Kansas City against New England at Arrowhead. They were able to get pressure to Brady. Interceptions, opportunities on defense, and win a game on a big stage. Yes, this stage is a little bigger. Yes, this is up in Foxborough, but this is a team that has not only come together, but they're not afraid. Yes, the schedule has been favorable, but still, you got to beat the team that you're playing. That's the idea. And to do that now 11 straight times, and in the process, end a playoff drought that spanned more than two decades, this could be not necessarily a team of destiny, but this could be the time to where Kansas City, and especially Andy Reid, can put together yet another solid playoff run.
Last week, Chiefs went to Houston. They forced five turnovers against on Brian Hoyer. Is there any chance they do the same thing to Tom Brady or anything close to
that?
Not
a chance. Not a chance. Brian Hoyer was the understudy of Brady, but we've seen in all of his stops in the NFL, he's not the same caliber quarterback. And also, this is a guy who really didn't look like himself. I found out that was him coming off of his second concussion from the season. And I didn't get a chance to see a lot of that game, but some people were saying that you could see he still wasn't 100% coming off of that second concussion. So, yeah, I mean, how else does a quarterback have a full DeLome if he's in the playoffs unless he's rattled or not even comfortable being on the field?
I'm pretty sure it's impossible for any other quarterback in this league to replicate what Brian Hoyer did last week. That doesn't mean Tom Brady's not going to have any turnovers. No one's perfect, but there's no way he's going to replicate what Hoyer did last week. The Chiefs defense has been very, very good this year, but Brady knows how to get it done. He's a veteran quarterback. Definitely, there could be some turnovers forced and a couple on Brady, but I just don't see it getting anywhere close to what Hoyer did last week. Obviously, Brady is on a whole different planet than Hoyer is. Definitely, I could see a turnover on Brady, but I don't really see any more than two.
Dylan took the words right out of my mouth. The magic number isn't going to be five. It's going to be two. You're talking about an understudy and a journeyman versus a Hall of Famer. And the reason why I would even put that number of two is because Tom Brady's a little bit hobbled himself. He took a beating his last time out against the Dolphins, to which you saw Belichick and the crew wave the white flag, which almost never happens. Kansas City is going to feed into that psychologically. Pressure they could get from their linebackers. If they can look at that film very carefully to get one or two extra plays, that's going to get the two turnovers they need. Then what they do with them is going to be a bigger question.
You guys mentioned this before the show, and I had no idea. There are four games this weekend. Three of them are against teams that play each other in the regular season. This is the one game that was not played, that the Patriots and Chiefs did not play this past season. So what are the factors for both teams in this game?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, really? This is the two teams you don't have that familiarity for this year. You only have a few of the common opponents. So you're going to have to pick and choose what film, what results, what you want to replicate from the last time that you met and from the last couple of teams that they've played. So it's going to be a lot of extra studying simply because you didn't play each other this year, a lot more turnover, and you're almost facing an entirely different team.
I think that this lack of familiarity actually helps the Chiefs. I mean, this isn't the Chiefs team that we've seen the last 3 years or even since Andy Reid came in. Traditionally, they've been pounding the ball with, I'm missing his name right now. I just think of the nickname my friends and I gave him, Chief Keith Ruby Charles. But, yeah, he's been out all season for most of the season. And they actually have a passing game now, which is something, like I said, hasn't been featured in Arrowhead Stadium for a couple of seasons. So I still think that New England has the edge just because they've got a lot more talent, and I trust Bill Belichick a lot more than I trust Andy Reid in situations like this, especially making late-game adjustments, but it does give the Chiefs an edge.
Final question for this game, who wins?
You know, I'm so intrigued to pick the upset. I'm so intrigued to pick the team that's won 11 straight games. But I have to stay safe here with me being tied with Eric for the pick streak, 4-for-4. I'm taking the Patriots. They got Tom Brady on their side. It's kind of hard to pick against Brady, especially in Foxborough. I'm picking the Patriots. They're going to step up big. I know they're kind of stumbling into this game, but they're at home. They got Tom Brady. Patriots win this game. It's going to be a close one. I'll take 24-14.
I went into this saying that this was going to be the hardest game for me to pick. I'm either going to maintain my reputation as Squidomus or have a straitjacket ready for me by the end of tonight. I am going to pick that upset. I think so much stuff has come together for Kansas City, and the pressure is actually still off of them. 27-20, this is their time.
I've got to go with the Patriots. When it starts to become January, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have a phenomenal record here. I really have to go with them, especially if the game goes tight. You just got to think about it. If the game is in the balance with 2 minutes left, who would you rather have be your signal caller, Alex Smith or Tom Brady? And no disrespect to Smith, but Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play. That's why I'm taking New England. I think it's going to be another classic one where the Patriots it's win on a last-minute field goal. I'm calling it 20-17.
The guys have the Patriots pulling off this one in a close one. Of course, I have to go with New England. But like I said on my show, Steve and I are talking football at SUTF. You can listen to it Monday through Friday at 4. The Chiefs won 11 games in a row, but they haven't faced a great quarterback. This is the time they're facing a great quarterback. I see the Patriots defense knocking out Jeremy Maclin out of this game. The Patriots win the game 34-14. As for our other co host, Stephanie Diaz, who cannot be in with us today. She picks the Chiefs, and she says the Patriots need a reality call. 4-1 with the Patriots and the Chiefs. That game is at 4:40 today on CBS. The next game, which is on 8:15 on NBC, is a rematch of the Packers and the Cardinals. Now, week 16, the Cardinals won the game 38-8. They sacked Aaron Rodgers 8 times. The Cardinals defense had as many sacks, the Packers had points. How did the Pack turn around today?
It's simple. It's running the football. They have to run the football. They got it going last week against Washington. That's ultimately what turned the game around. The Packers were close with the Redskins most of the time. They started running the ball effectively and a lot, and all of a sudden, the Packers were up 2 touchdowns. They need to run the ball and open up the passing game. Clearly, Aaron Rodgers had about as much time to breathe as he did to throw in that game. They need to run the ball effectively, starting with the first possession. If they run the ball effectively, they open up the passing game, open up the play action, then we definitely will see much more protection and ease for Aaron Rodgers to throw. They need to definitely get that running game started and effectively going if Aaron Rodgers wants to have enough time to effectively throw.
All right. I hear what you're saying, Dylan, but I don't know if you're going to be able to do this against the Cardinals' defense. I mean, they are a monster of a different beast than Washington's defense is. I'm just looking at some stats right now, and they are ranked in the top five in most major defensive categories. Including DVOA, which is basically the yardage the team averaged out by the offense that they're playing against. We saw the smackdown that they put on Green Bay 3 weeks ago. There's not enough to change. And also, I really feel like Washington lost that game a lot more than the Packers won. Early in the game, the Packers looked out of sorts. Deshaun Jackson reaches the ball out and scores a touchdown, we're probably talking about Washington playing in Arizona right now.
To me, can Eddie Lacy, all times this season, finally wake up? If he can set a tone in the first quarter, not even with the long highlight reel touchdown, but if he can get a 5-yard run or 10-yard run to kind of make the Cardinals respect him and back off, because their secondary is incomplete without Tyrann Mathieu. If he can get it going, then that will give Rodgers more time, figure out what he wants to do with the receivers. Otherwise, you could be 38-8 all over again. Carson Palmer's got a chip on his shoulder with the playoffs. He's there, he's healthy, he's in it. He wants to shake off his own demons. Arizona wants to prove they're for real. So it's up to Eddie Lacy to kind of start opening things up early for the Packers to get the dominoes falling.
Josh mentioned this earlier. Packers, in the Packers game against the Redskins, they fell down 11-0. And after that, they outscored the Redskins 35-7. Do you guys think that this gives the Packers a little bit of confidence going into Arizona?
It does, because they were able to come back. They were down, especially after giving up a safety. And I even put it out, teams that rarely give up an early safety and go on to win the game. But they were also going up against Kirk Cousins, unproven in the playoffs. Yes, Carson Palmer's unproven, but he's much more motivated. If you see Arizona get out to a 7-0, 10-0 lead, they're going to be in shutdown mode early on. The Redskins really didn't have that factor, that kind of grit to be able to do that.
It definitely does give the Packers some sort of confidence, because not only did they come back and definitely demolish the Redskins over that stretch, but clearly their offense from past years, which has been some of the best in the league, showed. They ran the ball effectively, and they passed the ball, and they got the ball to their weapons. James Jones, Randall Cobb, and a bunch of others. So definitely, not only does it give them confidence in terms of coming out slow, and then all of a sudden they're up 32-18, but they're also from past years awoke from whatever happened to them, and all of a sudden they showed on the field. So clearly they now know what it is with their offense. It's still there. They just need to run the ball effectively. So definitely that gives them confidence, but that confidence might be a little lower considering they're going to the same location as they were 3 weeks ago, where they just lost by 30 points. But there's definitely some sort of confidence level that the Packers gained from last week.
You know what gives the Packers confidence? The fact that they've got Aaron Rodgers, who is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league right now, definitely in the conversation for top 10 all time, and anything's possible with him under center. That being said, they've got to be realistic. They know that if they fall down two scores to Arizona, that it's probably all she wrote there, because Arizona just isn't going to let you score on them and get back in the game. But they know that they have the capability to keep up with them offensively, and if their defense plays a solid game, they've got a chance.
On the other side of the ball, Arizona won the game 38-8. Next week, they host Seattle. And Seattle just whoops them, 36-6. How did they go from winning 38-8 to losing 36-6? What happened?
You know, it wasn't really anything strategic that happened. I just think the Cardinals looked up on the scoreboard. They saw that Carolina was whipping up on Tampa Bay, and they just figured they'd wave the white flag, and they just call it a day. Seattle had gotten out to a 10-0 lead, or a big lead, actually. I'm not entirely sure what the score was. They got out to a big lead, and it was just too much for the Cardinals to come back from, and they just figured they saw what the score was up in Carolina, and really they did not need to risk anything with any of their key players. I think that definitely played a big part, and Seattle was coming into the game red hot. So even though Arizona had beaten Seattle earlier in the year, Seattle is still obviously a very quality opponent, and they were coming in red hot. They got out to a red hot start, and the Cardinals just waved the white flag when they saw the score in Carolina, and they just called it a day. That's my theory. Whatever strategically happened, I'm not sure, but definitely something happened, because I don't see that happening again in the playoffs if Seattle and Arizona were to meet, but I definitely think it was something to do with the Carolina game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the Cardinals, many of their key players, including Carson Palmer, are pretty old. They've been banged up. I really think they just didn't want to risk the injuries, so they packed it in. They knew they were locked for the second seed and had a first-round bye. They really didn't have anything to play for, so, yeah. I agree with Dylan on that.
I mean, there was also a big hangover factor. They went in, as you both said, knowing that they really didn't have a shot at the number one, but they really had a big win that kind of cemented them, forced the league, and remind them to take them seriously. So they decided, now we can look forward to the playoffs. Seattle is on fire anyways. They're trying to show something. Let's not get in their way. Let's go ahead and see if we can beat them again when it really counts.
Real fast, key factors for both teams in this game.
Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald. I've been watching him since he was in college at the University of Pittsburgh. He's been to the Super Bowl before. He knows that he's near the end of his career. He doesn't have many chances. So he's going to have the rest of that squad motivated and rallying to give it their all for this, which is probably the best chance this franchise has to win the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
I think it's the same factor for both teams, really. It's the running game. Arizona needs to get David Johnson going. That will open up the passing game for Carson Palmer. Green Bay definitely really needs to get Starks and Lacey going, and that will open up the game passing game for Aaron Rodgers.
Can Arizona replicate their wild game on defense? Can they keep getting pressure to Aaron Rodgers and making him uncomfortable?
Who wins?
Yes.
I'm taking the Cardinals here. They're at home. They have Carson Palmer on their side. I know Green Bay, it's hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers. He was hot last week. The running game went very well, but I'm picking the Cardinals. They're at home. They've been hot all year. I'm picking the Cardinals.
Palmer gets his redemption. Cardinals take it. Green Bay still isn't back to where they were at the beginning of the year.
I'm going with Arizona because I feel like everybody that played in that game, that can be 16, same players. I don't see anything different. Give me another 38-8 win for the Arizona Cardinals. And Stephanie, good God, picks Green Bay to upset the Cardinals. So that was it. That is it for our NFL pregame show alongside Dylan Goldman, Eric Watkins, Joshua Lurie, and Stephanie Diaz.